Hello, everyone. Welcome to New Consciousness, New World. This is your host, Esperanza Ray, and I wanted to welcome you back. I hope you've enjoyed the programs we've had so far, and I hope you continue to enjoy some of our following programs. Today, we're going to continue. The focus of our show is mostly 2012, but the goal is not to focus on the negatives of 2012. It's just the opposite. The goal is to focus on the positive. We've been utilizing my book as a guide, Hope Reigns Beyond 2012, The Real Secret of the End of Times, Ascension into the Fifth Dimension of New Terra. And we're just finishing up the chaotic phases of our ascension process, and we'll be moving into the future of Terra and what that holds for us. With that in mind, I wanted to also mention the fact that I'm going to be attending a conference in Chichen Itza, New Mexico, and the purpose of this is mostly spiritual related. We're going to be staying at a resort called Ocon, which is right across from the Chichen Itza Pyramid, and I'm going to have the opportunity to participate or be a speaker in along with several other people, including a very renowned archaeologist, also a very renowned healer, J. Emmanuel Morales, which we had last week on the show, and Pilar Farnsworth, which was on the show the previous week. So I hope that you enjoyed that, and if you did not get the opportunity to listen to it, please go to the archives, which will provide you with recorded versions of the show where you can, if you're interested, talk about some of the issues we discussed, which have to do with energy vibration and synchronicity and balance and healing and all of that. All those important things in our on our ascension process. So basically, what I'd like to focus on at this point is we're in the chapter 9 of the book. We are kind of going backwards through the book because of the fact that it has been written in reverse chronological order, and for the radio show purposes, I wanted to get over and done with all the chaotic and problematic phases in our ascension process and the evolution of humanity. And this one is a very interesting part. It has to do with Chapter 9 of the book. It's called North and South America. So this is, I'm hoping it will be a very interesting to you because it affects us directly from the perspective of transformation and changes. And it also brings into the picture how we're not alone, and how other races from other planets are also involved in the process, and how they are helping us in different ways, and how they have been on the planet for a while along with us, and they have been interchanging and intermingling with us, and some of them have become almost like us, and there's no really big distinguish. I've had the opportunity to actually connect with these beings long before I did the healing and long before all this, and they were actually one of the first set of teachers that I've had to help me in this process of transformation and human evolution, and I have had images of them, and I do understand what they look like, so we'll be talking about some of that today. Specifically, I've known them as the Elder Brothers because they have existed long before the Earth process and evolution took place. So I guess in a way, in comparison to us, they have been in the universe in existence much longer, and so that for that reason they're called the Elder Brothers. And we'll be talking about that and some other changes on our planet today. So we can start out with South and Central America. And Metatron explains that the Andes stretch along the west coast of the continent from Central to South America. They are a continuation of the Rocky Mountain chain, which comes down through North America and also goes further up into Canada and Alaska, of course. Because of their height, high altitude, and in some places, easy access, they are the perfect setting of refuge for Latin America against rising waters. Many native tribes still inhabit the plateau along the Andes, and as you know, there are very, from the perspective of spiritual points, there are several places that are extremely very famous. Specifically in Peru, you have Machu Picchu, which is a very important spiritual destination for a lot of us, and it's one of these areas. And I believe, my understanding based on what I have received in the past, and that there are specific secret caves in certain parts, geographical areas in the continent that are intended to be discovered by humanity when it has reached a certain level of evolution. Some of these places will be places for refuge, as well as places for helping us to transcend this these moments of chaotic transformation and letting go of all our negativity and moving into the light and becoming more light beings. So the native tribes that inhabit some of these plateaus along the Andes, for example, Machu Picchu, these tribes are a resource to assist, in some cases, welcome newcomers. Some of their folklore speak of the end of time, for example, obviously the Mayan calendar, and also through the tradition, the oral traditions of a lot of these tribes is how a lot of this information is being shared and communicated throughout humanity. The spiritual leaders there understand the danger of allowing the wrong people to infiltrate their group. The principal danger is annihilation of their tribes, of course. They also understand the need to help humanity progress into the next step in evolution. As a matter of fact, our trip to Chichen Itza has been requested by a shaman, a Mayan shaman, to come and do some energy work because of the alignment of the planets. It's going to be a very powerful moment. And there's a specific time frame that we needed to assist or attend or to be there for this process, and that is what we're being called to do when we go down to the conference. It's, in reality, it's more of a spiritual pilgrimage and also the opportunity to become transformed in the process of the energy that's flowing there, and also to bring into balance the energy center that is located in Chichen Itza, under the Chichen Itza Pyramid, and in some of the surrounding areas. The spiritual leaders understand the importance. The principal danger is the annihilation of the tribes. They also understand the need to help humanity progress into its next step in evolution. Newcomers can also provide benefits that can help the indigenous survive. They can supply new techniques, machines, labs, technology, and medicine. Survival is more feasible in larger numbers, so that is what we're called to do. As a matter of fact, they indicate that our ability to be able to work together as spiritual beings, as beings of light, will determine our ability to survive or not. So if we can lay aside all our negativity, all our conflicts, all our self-absorbedness, and become more connected to each other, and become more balanced and centered, and share the knowledge that we have as spiritual beings, as enlightened beings, then we can become more and more connected and develop a great community that can help to survive, and we can become enlightened beings the way it was intended to be from the beginning. So let's focus on that. Survival is more feasible, like I said, in large groups, yet it is also a great responsibility. From here, a new civilization will develop this dimensional consciousness. And it's from these survival groups that humanity will develop and we will become enlightened beings. In a few remote locations in the Andes, there are structures embedded into the mountains. And this is what I was mentioning a little bit earlier. Machu Picchu is one of those locations. I've actually been shown where they're located in, what's inside, what can be found inside. And the purpose oftentimes is I'm giving this before physically being in the location, because the purpose is to verify that the information I'm getting is correct and that I am in connection with with higher consciousness. And this is a way that the beings of light and the archangels and all the hierarchies of light with the Creator work to help support us and to guide us and direct us by providing us verification and proof. So from here, new civilizations will develop a fifth-dimensional consciousness, and we're going to be talking about that probably in the next coming program. In a few remote locations on the Andes, there's structures embedded into the mountains. These are ancient civilizations that helped the Incas, Mayans, and Aztecs build the step pyramids and cities found along the north, central, and southern part of the Americas. These ancient civilizations knew the process of transformation that would follow in the few generations. I mean, they're very enlightened beings, so yes, they knew what was coming. They left reminiscences of their technology and their understanding and knowledge in these locations for the purpose that humanity can use this in the process of transformation and also to grow spiritually and emotionally and as groups of human beings that could evolve to a higher level of consciousness, understanding, and knowledge, and be more connected to the source. To protect these locations, the entrances have been carefully and strategically hidden, however. When the Elder Brothers decide to return to their homes, they left some small groups behind to maintain these locations. From these small groups, a few descended and mixed, basically descended from the mountains and from these strategic locations that they had on the planet, and they mixed with the population of the time. They were sent out in different directions within the Latin continent. Their purpose is to assist humanity in its transformation. They wait for the moment to lead people into safety. Until then, their focus is to teach and help humanity awaken, prepare, and also preserve much of culture in the region. Now let's talk a little bit of who the Elder Brothers are. Okay, I'm going to introduce a couple of terms that may seem a little strange to you, but they are, I think, important for you to understand the difference between different types of extraterrestrials. The Elder Brothers, or also called ultra-terrestrials, are a group of races from various planets in our galaxy, neighboring galaxies or universes, and other universes. So they come from different locations throughout. The ones that I have seen are very advanced beings, approximately 10 feet tall and almost white-skinned. Some are blonde, and their eyes are blue or green. They have visited our planet numerous times through different methods of travel. They have already reached a higher level of consciousness and possess five-dimensional awareness. So they're a little bit further ahead of us, and their form of travel is a little bit more advanced than our primitive form of travel. They are here to help us achieve our awakening because Terra, the galaxy, and the universe are all interconnected. In a way, we're all in this together. And that's one thing, because we're all one. We're all interconnected through the source, the creator of all things. The Lower Brothers, or also called extraterrestrials, are a race that come from various planets in our galaxy and neighboring galaxies. They are advanced technologically and have visited our planet numerous times. Their purpose, however, is to create chaos and fear, thus preventing the ascension of Terra. Their goal is the servitude of humanity as they live among us. So there is always, you notice, a yang-yang effect, because we do exist in a dual illusion that we created. And as a result of that, we have this duality. So where there's good, there's also bad, there's the opposite, and so on. Remember that you exist in a system of duality. Where one thing exists, so does its mirror image. This is part of the humanity's evolution. And of course, this will disappear once we have ascended into the fifth dimension. Metatron elaborates, the ocean will divide the north from the south. Mexico and Central America will turn into small islands like stepping stones between the main continents. The Gulf of Mexico will be will be a link between the Pacific and the Atlantic. America's fate has changed forever. Large numbers of survivors run ahead of the waters and other natural disasters that are occurring on the planet, and some not-so-natural disasters as well. The Amazon River is the primary gateway for the waters to move into the interior of South America. Part of the people move in large waves north to the United States. Others run south, searching for higher ground and safety. So you have, you know, the population of the Americas moving into opposite directions, seeking out refuge wherever they can find it. Unfortunately, this only adds to the chaos and confusion in these countries. People in a stampede can be even more dangerous than nature. Fear is their direction and guide, and unfortunately, that doesn't always lead you to the right place and in the right way. Much of this can be avoided by simply preparing yourself for the outcome. South America will offer the two largest pieces of land to escape the devastation of the waters. And Metatron says, it is here that the largest group of Latin Americans will endure. The war will not have much of an impact here. Chaos is already a running rampant. Those groups able to escape the waters will have to avoid a greater evil, the drug cartels involved in widespread tourism. And as you know, this is already kind of taking place in these countries. As a matter of fact, a lot of countries, and the smaller and larger ones, that were eventually beautiful havens for tourists and other people to come and visit, and travelers, are unfortunately have the dangers of the cartels and the drug lords and all this that's going on. Now, that was one of the questions we had in regards to our trip down there. My understanding is it's not as bad as it's being painted. So, and not only that, but through the grace of God, we're all protected. So I feel comfortable in attending this convention, which you might be wondering. I think the more dramatic aspect is still to come. This is just the initial aspect of it, and hopefully things will keep going, following the process that's been outlined in this book, and eventually this will all be overcome, and we will transcend and overcome this process in our evolution, which is just a time of darkness. If you look back at history, you will find that there has been moments of light and moments of great enlightenment, and then there have been moments of great darkness where you know, humanity has been treated to act in servitude and by landlords in the Middle Ages, and throughout the Renaissance we've had moments of great enlightenment and great developments in research and scientific breakthroughs. We just are coming out of that, and we're entering one of the dark stages. Fortunately for us, though, this will be one of the last stages of darkness. It will be the most traumatic, but it will also be the last, and the age of illusion will disappear, and we will be completely connected to everything that is around us. There will be no more separation between people who have passed or transitioned into what they call the afterlife, and ourselves. We will all be able to connect more easily. So if a person has passed away, a family member that you love very much, it's someone you can still connect to and spend time with and talk in the same way that you would be able to talk to me or to another friend or a family member. So this is going to be some wonderful, wonderful gifts that we're going to receive. We will be living in the age of miracles. I just wanted to give you a little bit of the positive thrown within with this, some of the negative, because I don't want you to focus exclusively on this. We need to be aware of it. We need to understand what is going to happen, but we need to know and believe and hope and have faith that all of this is for a much better tomorrow, and I understand that, and I believe that, and I have seen that. Okay, so the drug cartels involved in widespread tourism. Governments are overturned by drug lords and leave the inhabitants to fend for themselves. Tribal communities will rise from existing groups, manning together to preserve. Many will be led to safety of the sanctuaries. That's what I've been told they're called, because that's really their function. It's not just a place for survival, but it's a place for development of spirituality and for us to start reaching into the next part of our evolution and actually grow as human beings spiritually. We will be taught meditation. We will be taught all kinds of techniques and methodologies that will help to bring out the most greatest and best potential, the development of the mind, of the human potential. We will no longer have 5% of our mentality, but we will have very close to 75 to 100% of our mental capacity functioning, and that will mean great changes in humanity and also in the light vibration and frequencies on our planet. We're going to talk a little bit now about Canada. And Metatron now moves to Canada. The world will reach Canada in east through Greenland and spread southward and westward. In the west, the impact is minimal due to the extreme conditions of Alaska and northwest Canada. The greater impact here in Canada lies in the east and central part of the country. It will not last very long. Nature is knocking at the back and in the front door. Its wrath will not be. Its anger, its frustration will not wait. So it will come in, and a lot of Canada will be devastated under the waters. The large northeast lakes will push the flooding water south throughout most of Canada into the United States. In the south, the waters of the Gulf of Mexico move through the Mississippi and Colorado rivers, embracing the waves from the Great Lakes. This submerges the east coast underwater. Numerous large islands are left where small peaks used to be. Some of the population will find some levels of safety. So let's clarify this. You're having waves of water coming down from the north east side of Canada through the lakes, and the Colorado rivers and the Mississippi will bring in the water and create in the center part of the United States. Central, leaning a little bit towards the east, will be submerged underwater in most of those states. The higher regions will help to prevent the waters from flowing further east. However, part of the Atlantic coast of the United States will disappear. And underwater as well, all the way down from coming from the lakes all the way down to the Florida coastline. It will be a small strip. However, it will affect a group of, including the capital of the United States and some of the bordering states on the Atlantic. The area that is in the center part of the United States, the flatlands, flat parts of the United States in the central, touching along the West Virginia Mountains and all the way to the Rockies, there will be a certain amount of land, and it's a much wider strip that will be submerged due to the low the height in that area. So numerous large islands will be left, and small peaks used to be. Some of the population will find some levels of safety. The isolation, if not prepared for, will create much hardship. This is one of the reasons, and I'm not talking about necessarily about preparation in the sense of survival gear or even food supplies, but I'm talking more along the lines of mental survival, being in a state of balance in the chaos. And we can actually accomplish that. I know that's possible and will be done. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about being preparing for survival. Yes, the physical aspect of it is important as well. I'm not trying to counterplay that. However, what will allow us to make the best decisions, the best choices, and also to be guided and directed to where we need to be when these things take place, not everybody's going to need to move to the mountains. Not everybody's going to need to change their location. We just need to be mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically prepared for the survival of our species, for the survival of humanity. It's a natural process that's taking place for evolution, and that's really what we need to understand. The East Coast will suffer the greatest devastation. A couple of locations also contain ancient caves that will serve as places where Canadians can find safety and survival. The reason the East Coast of Canada is the worst just for survival purposes because it has a lot of infiltration of water already. And these are much lower to the ocean level, and they're very easy for the waves just to move from the melting of the ice cap, as well as the earthquakes and different tidal waves that are going to be coming through. Also, through the rising of the Atlantic North and South continents, that will obviously push waters from the center of the Atlantic to the outskirts, which will impact Canada and the United States, and also South and Central America. Now let's talk a little bit about North America. Most, if not all, of the areas of refuge will become schools for the new age. Here, humanity will learn a new way of life. Now this is true all over the world, but specifically in North America, I know for a fact that it holds a very important piece of the puzzle for human evolution. Like I had mentioned earlier, any country becoming an ally of the United States has a much greater chance of survival in this process. And from an energy perspective, from a spiritual perspective, from an evolutionary perspective, that's the case. And also for survival purposes, that's also the case. So most of the areas of refuge will be coming schools for New Age, and these exist all over the world. The Elder Brothers have provided this technology in different places. For example, Egypt, we have the pyramids there. There's other places throughout Europe, and there's obviously in the United States. There's places also in Latin America. So you don't have to be moving countries. The only reason you would need to be moving countries if that was something that you would need to do for other reasons. But we're all called to be where we are, and when we are called to do otherwise, we can determine that by maintaining a balanced connection to spirit, who will provide guidance and direction at these moments, okay? Just like I'm providing through this method. Once the basic skills are taught, here, basically, humanity will learn a new way of life, a more unified way of being. And once the basic skills are taught, people will learn more advanced techniques. Greater numbers of people will develop some of the abilities discussed in Section 1. And I don't want you to go into that because I want to say that for the last, it's the best part of the book. So when we talk about that, you will understand about the mentality and the way we think in the future, the way we act, what we do. So these abilities will be, the importance of learning these techniques, the importance of applying these techniques, the reason why this is important in our lives is because it's going to help with a transformation of who we are. It's going to provide us with a direction, the guidance, the balance, the peace, harmony, and healing that we need as a human race to accomplish all these changes and to ultimately become the race that was intended by God. One of these abilities to become breatharians. As breatharians, there's no need for food, water, or sleep. The body learns to sustain itself from the energy that surrounds us. And yes, energy exists all around us. And when you are in a meditative state, which we should practice, and in the beginning, you need to practice regularly. However, gradually, it becomes your way of existing all the time. And then you just are in that state all the time. When you're able to do that, and when you go to meditative state, you are tuning in. It's like you're a fork, that you're fine-tuning yourself to the perfect balance, harmony, a healing vibration, energy that is in the universe, that is in perfect balance and perfect harmony and in oneness with all that is. When we can bring ourselves and our body, our mind, and our consciousness into this state, then our body becomes to get attuned. And that's why people who go into meditative state look anywhere from 10 to 20 years younger, because when you're in the alpha state, you're basically transcending time. And we discussed that quite a bit in detail last week in our show. So, if you want to understand a little bit more about the energy and how that works, you're welcome to listen to the archives for last week. The body learns to sustain itself from the energy that surrounds us. This energy is the nourishment of the universe, and it feeds the soul. It originates from the source. It is everywhere. It is the essence of all that is. It's love. The food you eat ages the body. The light energy does not. It transforms it, and it sustains it, and it rejuvenates and heals it. And I'll give you a little peek into the future. Guess what? We don't age in the future. We actually are restored to the perfect age. Oh, I would say around the age of 21, more give or take, for maturity purposes. At the same time, at this time in the process of humanity, we do not age, and we do not get old, and we do not die. And we're able to just transition to the next level by taking our bodies with us, as opposed to just shedding our bodies. Metatron points out the mountain ranges in the United States offer protection on both the east and the west coast. Starting in the northwest of Alaska, there are two main ranges: the Brooks Range along the north coast from east to west, and the south you have the Alaska Range moving also from east to west. Alaska will offer safe haven and security. The current climate is a bit more extreme than other areas of the country, and the terrain is a bit more rugged. This extremeness in weather will become a little more so or a little more extreme in the near future. So just wanted to point that out. In the next few years, the temperatures will become more extreme, making life on the surface a bit harsh. The best opportunities are found in underground habitats built into the mountainside. So this is one of the ways that we can find a safer haven in there. However, these offer the best options for the water protection and remoteness from the war. These are the things that it will really be a great safe haven for. The greater dangers here are, though, the earthquake. Its remote location is a benefit, making it, along with Siberia, one of the few places that will have a minimal war impact. Most of Alaska and a small piece of Canada will create a smaller continent. So this is how we're kind of getting a vision of the changes in our planet, and we're seeing the new face of Terra rise. On the west coast of the United States, there are several mountain ranges. The two major ones are the Sierra Nevada and the Cascade Ranges. Their highest point being Mount Rainier. What will be left of these mountain ranges are a few islands. The rise of the Australian plate and the melting of the ice caps will produce waves over thousands of feet high, which will plow down over the west coast of North America. So the Sierra Nevada will help to deflect some of the water, but it will not stop it completely. The pressures from the Pacific plates will produce earth-shattering quakes, so the west coast, as you know, will disappear. Part of Washington State, all of San Francisco and Los Angeles will be submerged with the waters reaching into parts of Nevada. So not all of Nevada is going to disappear, but especially the southern part of Nevada will be covered. A bit more towards the interior are the Rocky Mountains, the highest point being Pikes Peak. This is the best area for protection on the west side of the country. It also boasts a great military presence to keep law and order, hopefully, at this point in time in our transformation. On the east coast, The Appalachians are the largest range of mountains stretching from the Maine, from Maine to north to northern Georgia. The safest areas are actually in between the mountain ranges, in the interior between the peaks. So, for example, if you think of the mountain ranges, the Appalachians, you have mountain ranges, and then you have mountains within the mountains. Since you're going to have water coming from the Atlantic and you're going to have water coming from the central part of the country through the Mississippi and the Colorado rivers and also from the lakes, obviously the water may reach certain heights in the surrounding area of the mountains. However, it will not completely submerge the mountains, so those are considered safe havens. Now again, please understand, I'm not asking anybody to run these areas. I'm saying these are some of the safe areas for whatever transitions we're going to be going through for a certain time. Only through meditation, through spirituality, through direction of higher beings will we be guided to make those changes. And as of right now, I have not been told to go anywhere and not necessarily won't. He continues, Metatron continues, the water will wash the Appalachians on both sides of the Atlantic in the east and the Mississippi in the west. The rising of the Atlantic continents will move the largest body of water through the United States borders. In the south, the Atlantic will push the Gulf waters inward through the Mississippi and the Colorado rivers. At the same time, the North Atlantic will flood the Great Lakes and push the water downward, joining the two rivers. Joining the two rivers and the Gulf and the Atlantic are now one. Okay, they basically meet in the middle. The North Americas go from being one continent to three separate ones. And that's because you have the west side of the country and you have the east side of the country and then you have Alaska. That's where the third part is going to be. And, of course, we know the Hawaiian Islands unite with Australia. All right. Let's see what else. Under the force of the waters lies Texas, New Mexico, California, Washington State, Arizona, and parts of Nevada. Once the waves subside, some of the water will recede, but the central part of the United States will be gone. The United States contains the largest group of ancient caves, and due to their remote location, most are completely unknown. It is in this country where the largest group of elder brothers infiltrated themselves among the population. Through interbreeding, they are able to blend and with the populace, because like I said, they are very tall, so it would, unless you can consider a basketball player, they would definitely stick out, and even in a group of basketball players, they would probably stick out. We're talking about 10 feet here. Through the again, through the interbreeding, they're obviously their genetics are being modified to fitting more with the human race. It is in the United States where much of the training for the awakening is taking place. And actually, if you go online and search for the United States and the Ascension process, there is some information on the Keys of Enoch by Dr. Hertoff that talk about the dove, and they show the phoenix rising in the Central America and specifically in the United States. So these are very important parts where the transformation is taking place. We're basically key. And then when you consider that in this country there is such a mixture of different races and cultures, it's amazing. It's almost like intended, like a mixing bowl for survival and, you know, retaining the knowledge of all the races that have existed here on the planet. Excuse me. So, let's continue with what's happening on our planet. For years, the United States has drawn populations from all over the world to its coast in search of a better life, escape from persecution or tyranny, and the pursuit of the American dream has been a lot of the motive. However, in this country lies the key to human ascension. The key is shared among groups of different people to whom it will be revealed. And I think that's why, for whatever reason, our ancestors and our families are called to immigrate or migrate to different parts of the world. The Rocky and Appalachian ranges are not the only locations of ancient structures. An extensive network of underwater cities also exists throughout the Atlantic and Pacific, as well as under the continents. These cities, however, have maintained a lot of their original splendor, and also the people from these areas have not intermingled as much with humanity as some of the others that were on land. The reason being because the ocean provides them with a certain level of protection and isolation and anonymity. So that's one of the reasons why these areas, these cities, have been able to maintain themselves anonymous and undetected to some degree by us. The depths of these areas make them ideal places for hiding cities that are interlinked by monorail tube systems. These advanced cities were built by the Elder Brothers. These locations are intended to offer refuge, though they are unknown to humanity at this point. They will, however, be revealed as needed to the appropriate groups of people and at the appropriate time as well. So that's something we need to understand. And that's why we're sometimes drawn to participate in certain activities and certain events. So allow yourself to be guided by spirit and directed so that you can know what is best for your ultimate purpose in this planet. Metatron continues saying, your government has built and is building structures within the mountains. These caves are intended to preserve as much of humanity as possible. They are large fortresses, strategic command and control centers. All types of weapons, food, seeds, art, and medicine are being stored. These locations will protect some of the population. A selection will be made of the best doctors, nurses, scientists, engineers, and teachers, to mention a few professions. Selection will be made from the elite in society. The purpose is to preserve the best and to ensure the survival of our species, of course. Most of these caves are common knowledge. What is not known is their functionality. A few of these centers are highly classified. A very select few are aware of their existence and location. They contain the newest technologies. They will house the leaders of the ruling government to command the country. Obviously, you can understand that there would be a need to preserve as much of the government structure as possible so that when the chaos passes, there will be a ruling society. But there's another plan, a greater plan in place that is not going to result exactly the way these planners of our current existing governments have intended. And that's okay, because it's God's plan, really, not necessarily just man's. Their goal is to maintain law, order, and control, and preserve, of course, civilization as you and I understand it. But it is a higher level of government that's going to be taking place, and that is what we really are waiting for. That's what we're wanting, and that's what we're needing, and that's what's going to be happening. The event that are described in this book will change civilization forever. This will be for the best, of course. It is natural progression of all life in the universe. Humanity will fulfill its destiny. There is no turning back. What you can change is the severity of the trauma. That is within your control, within your reach. Some events are intended to occur, but how you react or respond to them is up to you. You can let fear get the best of you, or you can choose to focus on your inner world and control your mind, therefore controlling the world around you. You determine your focus. Your ability to get along and work together will determine your survival. It's basically connecting to the inner power within that we are able to overcome all this, and not only overcome, but transform the way we live, the way we think, the way we do things. And when we get to section one, you're going to understand that all of this is more than worth it, because the outcome is so awesome. Here I share a vision experience on travel. So now I'm going to basically talk specifically about a vision that I experienced on one of my trips in Texas for work. During my 45-minute drive, I saw events that would take place in the near future. Yes, I get visions even while driving, and I have a perfect awareness of what I'm doing. It has something to do with absolute knowledge, and I cannot put into words the awesomeness of this form of communication. You are totally aware and in perfect balance, and not only that, but your awareness is so acute and so refined that there's no room for error or for making mistakes like we normally do when we're distracted. Because at this point in time, we're really not distracted. We are completely in oneness and connected to spirit. I was at the top of a hill moving downward, one of the main highways from Dallas, Fort Worth, the airport to Fort Worth. Before me was a valley, and I could see for miles around me. It was a clear, sunny day. It was summer, and I just smiled at the peaceful picture in front of me. My spirit was light and cheerful. I was excited about getting to my meeting. So a new image superimposed itself, much like you would have a transparency sheet from a projector, and it just transposed itself on top of the image that was what we consider in the real world. A new image superimposed itself on the valley before me. I saw huge waves of water plowing forward through the valley. They were thundering up the hill in my direction. Everything in their path was crushed and uprooted. Homes, cars, buildings, all demolished and carried away by the waters. I focused on the debris floating on the top of the waves. The worst part was the animals and bodies floating in the water, some already dead, others holding on for dear life, while others pushed under as the waves continued on their path. The sonic boom it made was painful to the ears as the water sliced through the atmosphere. The sadness was overwhelming, and I began to really cry. Yes, water started to run down my cheeks. The next images were underwater. It was the location I was driving through, but water covered everything. I saw a few structures that were almost untouched, others obliterated and flattened. Much of what I saw was debris that now settled at the bottom. This probably is a few weeks later. So basically, I'm getting different images. One, when it's happening and what their outcome is. And then once the waters have settled, and this area that I'm driving through currently at the present time, what it will look like in the future. Some of the bodies floated lifelessly. Others sat at the bottom, distorted and mangled. I could even see dead fish. Looking up, I saw the surface of the water, and it was daylight. I was very deep. Metatron interjected, "This is going to happen in the end of time. Those who do not follow their guidance, who are caught up in the distractions of the world, who do not become aware, who are blind to the signs, who fail to relocate to safer areas, will perish in the floods and are in natural disasters. Again, the choice is yours. Open your mind and your heart. Allow the source to guide you. The source is with you always. Seek and you shall find. This is not a punishment. It is a reflection of your current reality." And in here, I also insert into the book a very famous quote by Victor Hugo, and this is what it says. "Have no fear of robbers or murderers. They are external dangers, petty dangers. We should fear ourselves. Prejudices are the real robbers. Vices, the real murderers. The great dangers are within us. Why worry about what threatens our heads or purses? Let us think instead of what threatens our souls. And this is really what this book is all about. We have a greater threat than our physical problems. I know the economy is not the best right now, and I know there's a lot of people losing their homes, and there's a lot of people who are having financial troubles. However, the greatest threat at this point in time, a moment of fear and a moment of great chaos, our greatest danger is our soul, a being lost in all the everyday distractions and mundane events that we partake in everyday life, not focusing on ourselves and who we are and what our purpose is on this planet is our greatest danger. Failing to be aware, failing to recognize the greatness of our divinity, the greatness of the gift we carry inside. Developing that greatness, connecting with that energy, is the greatest power, the greatest transformational change in our lives and in our world, and we have the ability to do that. So now my trip was over. I had arrived at the airport a little early, and I waited to board. After a couple of hours, I finally made it to my seat and put my bags away. I looked out the window and thought about the meeting. My mind wandered back to the events of the arrival and the drive into Fort Worth. I continued to look out the window as the plane took off and gained altitude. I thought of the terrible loss, those who had perished, and the destruction that took place. In the background, interrupting my train of thought over the loudspeaker, the captain explained that we had reached the altitude of 30,000 feet. 30,000 feet, wow. So that's amazing. Can you believe that? We can actually make planes fly that high. I listened, and I continued to look at the window. The clear sky changed. Again, I saw the waves. They were as high as the plane. Now think about this, guys. We're talking about 30,000 feet, and these are waves as high as the plane. That is extremely powerful. These are extremely serious changes in our planet. And this kind of change, the rising of new continents and the falling of existing ones, the submersion of existing ones, would make a serious transformation. And this occurs every so many thousand years in our planet because the Earth needs to renew itself and transform. And that's what we're going through right now. All right, so we're at 30,000 feet. The clear sky changed. Again, I saw the waves. They were as high as the plane. There was a huge wave with a white crest. It appeared to climb higher and higher as more waves added to the force of the water. Again, I saw the valley completely covered. I was almost in shock. Homes, animals, trees, buildings, and loose material rushed past the plane. The most traumatic sight was the limp bodies carried by the water. The wave was monstrous. Metatron said, "You will never come back to Texas. This is your last time here." Now, I had been back to Texas, just wanted to point this out. I had been back to Texas because of my work several times, mostly in the Fort Worth area and a couple of other cities as well. But this is what I'm getting the message. And as to this day, I have never been to Texas. I have passed through Texas, and that's it. "You will never come back to Texas. This is your last time here." That was over 10 years ago. Actually, it's a little bit more than 10 years now. Work had taken me to Texas several times before. After this vision, my travel has not taken me back. I passed through but never stayed or visited the state since then. Now, that could change, but as far as I know, it has not. So that's basically the situation. In the last few years, I have noticed that many people in the United States are relocating to some of the areas I mentioned. These are locations that previously had small populations and have now tripled or more. And I'm talking like Colorado, I know, has increased in several places. The population has increased tremendously. I remember the first trips I had made to Colorado because of my work, and there were so around the airport area, there were so many huge open areas of land with no homes in sight. As a matter of fact, I remember driving down the main road from the airport into going towards Colorado Springs, for example, and there was a lot of open space, open range, and you had to be careful in case you got lost. There was no place you could go to ask for, you know, directions or anything like that. And now these areas are you know, like townhomes and homes and beautiful parks and hotels and malls are widely spreading throughout this whole area, and there are so many homes now around the airport that it's incredible and amazing. So just wanted to point that out. They tell me how they are feeling, talking to different people, basically, that I meet through my work. They're telling me how
it's time.
They have these locations previously had small populations and now have tripled in size, and people are feeling the need to move to these areas. So, again, I just wanted to thank you so much for joining us today and asking you to join us next week. Hopefully we'll have a better program than today because we'll be talking about the future cities. And welcome to New Consciousness, New World. See you again and have a wonderful week. And happy 4th of July to all.